You've heard me talk about my dog Tucker a lot on this podcast, and it's hard to imagine our family now without the joy that this little field spaniel has brought to our daily lives. That's when we were approached about advertising Superfood Complete on the show, and I said, well, yes, of course. Actress Katherine Heigl has helped save over 16,000 dogs through her foundation, and she is seeing more and more issues with dogs' joints, odors, and health than ever before. So she decided to create something she could actually feel good about feeding her dogs. Superfood Complete is made with over 30 of the healthiest ingredients on the planet, including several superfoods vital to your dog's health. Dogs across America, just like my dog Tucker, are trying Superfood Complete and experiencing amazing health benefits. Go to BadlandsRanch.com/Zabe and order right now to get up to 50% off your regularly priced order with a 90-day money-back guarantee. If you want your dog to experience these incredible things, go to BadlandsRanch.com. That's BadlandsRanch.com/Zabe today. You know, guys, when you get to be our age, finding the motivation to get back in shape can be hard. It's just plain tough to find a routine and to stick with it. Good news. FitBod is a fitness app that is anything but routine. It tailors your workouts to fit your life, your goals, your gear, and even your schedule, so you can avoid burnout. And FitBod helps keep up your momentum by mixing in different exercises, reps, supersets, and circuits. Best yet, FitBod has over 1,000 demonstration videos, so you can learn the right way to do each exercise. It's time to ditch the boring routines and kickstart your fitness journey. Add FitBod to your workout essentials. Join today to get your personalized workout plan. Get 25% off your subscription or try the app for free at FitBod.me/Zabe. That's FitBod.me/Zabe. Just because the NFL season is now firmly in the rearview mirror does not mean the betting season is over. There is still plenty of opportunities to put a little something-something on the games. No matter what tickles your fancy, there is still plenty of action to whet your appetite. But just remember, where you bet is every bit as important, if not more so, than what you're betting on. That's why I tell my friends to go to mybookie.ag. MyBookie has been ahead of the game for years now. And why does that matter? Oh, I don't know, in a million ways. Better lines, better payouts, less rules. At mybookie.ag, use promo code ZABE and have your deposit matched halfway up to $1,000. That's a free cash bonus for making your deposit. Use promo code ZABE to claim the offer. Bet, win, and most importantly, get paid with MyBookie today.
You know, conventional wisdom, Jalen Hurts and Fields and all these guys that run, it's like, dude, you're going to get broken into 1,000 pieces. And yeah, there's still that concern because you're taking more hits or you're in the field of play more. But Lamar is so oddly crafty. I don't want to jinx it. It doesn't seem to take the square on hits that other guys do. He's just a very unique.
He's slippery. He's slippery. Yes. Tuesday, January 23rd, 2024. Thank you for downloading. You are looking live inside my closet. Yes, I'm in the closet. I'm in the closet right now recording with my Rode NTH-100-M headset and my laptop with the Rode Connect software. And I'm doing it because, listen, can you hear that? Can you hear how quiet it is in here? Closets, for anyone that needs the best audio acoustic quality and doesn't have any sort of studio that you've built for it, just go into the closet because your hanging clothes will catch and trap and keep your voice from reverberating better than any place in your house. So I just wanted to test this podcast in here. For acoustic reasons only, because you know me, I'm a stickler. and a constant maniac for finding the best sound possible for this podcast. I know many of you responded saying, you know, you gave Scott Lunch a bunch of shit for his audio quality, which sounded fine to me. And then you had Jay on the other day, and his audio sounded like shit. And you're not wrong about that. It's just, it's so challenging because I say, okay, I want to have a quick three-way scrum with Jay and my two other big Steeler fanboys, Nathan and Scott. So let me put them together in the simplest way possible, which is a three-way call on our iPhones. And when I got them all three together, suddenly Jay's audio went to shit. So I didn't feel like stopping everything and saying, okay, Jay, what are you doing? Hold the phone here. Do this, do that. Can you set up this? It's too much to ask people, even who are my friends. You don't want to make them coming on your podcast to be more than just a phone call. It's got to be simple. It's got to be easy. And when you think you've got it as simple as possible and as easy as possible, do one more thing, one more click to make it even easier. Anyway, in the closet, got a couple things for you here. Bought a new piece of technology that I am absolutely in love with. It is called the Samsung Frame TV. You may have seen this thing. It is the thinnest wall-mountable, high-definition, 4K, matte-finished, wafer-thin display that you can buy. It is not cheap, but they're getting cheaper, at least for the larger sizes. I saw that Best Buy had one that was normally $14.99 on sale for just over $1,000, so cha-ching, $400. $400 savings. I couldn't not jump at that. And I've always kind of looked at that thing going, that looks pretty good. Now, Scott Lynn has one, and we'll talk to him on Friday about it. He's got a smaller one. He swears by it. He loves it. Because when it's not a TV, it'll show artwork, and it'll just blend in to your wall. It is super cool. High tech. I have a problem, though. I have a secondary problem to this. A couple things. First of all, they don't give you sort of a picture frame that goes with it. That's an add-on. And there are these magnetic sort of frame bezels that go on the outside of this very flush wall-mounted TV that apparently Samsung sells as an accessory in a variety of colors and styles starting at, ready, $150. Go fuck yourself, Samsung. Like, that's outrageous. It's plastic. It's maybe wood, maybe carbon fiber. It's magnetic. Okay, $150? Seriously. So if anyone has a frame, I'm thinking somebody must sell somewhere sort of, you know, picture frame-like casings for the Samsung Frame TV that will fit perfectly at a fraction of the cost, that come in a much more variety of colors, flavors, styles, you name it, that look great. Maybe that exists, maybe not. I've yet to do any kind of exhaustive Google search. The technology on this thing is great. The image is stunning. The concept is really cool. They not only have artwork that will display when you're not watching TV, excuse my voice, but they have sort of, what's the word I want to use to describe it? They have like active paintings or photographs where everything in the photo is still, like it's a photo, and yet one little part of it is moving. Like there's a photo of a tree in a forest, beautiful. And there's a little vine with leaves hanging down the trunk of the tree. Those sort of wiggle in the wind. And so if you're walking by this thing and you don't know that it's an actual frame, or you don't know that it's actual TV, you would look at it like, oh, look at that picture. Wait, what? Whoa, it's moving. And there's a lot of other options there. Now, they want you to sign up for a subscription art service, so you can have fine art delivered electronically to your frame. And I'm like, I'm not paying for art. But it's hard to navigate the interface. It's very confusing, very clunky. The software people at Samsung have not figured out how to make it simple like Apple does or anyone else. So that's a little bit of a knock on it. The wire, though, that connects, the only thing is, if you get one of these, it comes with a box that's about the size of a loaf of bread. It's smaller than a cable box. It's not as wide, but it's at least 4, 5, 6 inches tall with a bunch of inputs for other HDMI, power, etc. That then connects to the frame through a proprietary cable that has an impossibly thin cord. I mean, just a little bit larger than a thick piece of yarn. But the terminations on it are wider than a typical HDMI. So if you're going to be drilling holes or running conduit to try to get this from one point to another, just be advised, you better measure the size of it because it's larger. And of course, you can still have it hang down the wall, but we all know that's unacceptable. So mine is hanging in my bedroom in my apartment here in Milwaukee, and the wire hangs down just a couple of feet to the box, which is sitting currently on a temporary table. I, of course, want to bury that in the wall and have it exit down below into the box, which I then need to put in some piece of furniture. Now comes the adventure. I'm thinking, all right, what do I need for a piece of furniture? It's not an entertainment console. It's not a dresser with drawers, per se. Is it a curio? Is it a... What would it be exactly? So I start Googling stuff. Apparently, I'm looking for a sideboard, a narrow sideboard that's about 12 inches deep at most, because it's a kind of a tight bedroom. And sideboards typically are for kitchens and or dining rooms where you keep extra plates. But this would be just fine in the bedroom because I can put other knickknacks and stuff inside. There is no, to my knowledge, reliable way to search for furniture that you don't know the name of. Where you have to go, no, I want a little bit taller. No, not that fancy. Yes, that color, not that color. What do you call this thing? Where does it go? Does it go in the kitchen, the bedroom? Well, it could go in both. Does it matter? Okay. And then you start getting into prices on stuff. Quality furniture is expensive. Anyone knows that has a home. I don't need that much quality. I need something better than a slap together you would get at Target or Home Goods. But I definitely want something that's not too expensive. So what somebody needs to do, if they haven't already worked on this, some artificial intelligence program that will allow you to just, what's the word? It just think of what furniture you want, or just talk into your microphone on your laptop and explain what you're looking for, and have AI basically say, oh yeah, I get it, okay. And maybe ask you a couple of questions, then boom, put it all out there for you. Or you could just, well, Google it, like I did for at least 30 minutes. Got to talk some football here today. My man, Glenn Eunice, former SiriusXM host, now runs the Ed Reed Foundation, Glenn does. Mr. Baltimore, we'll talk to G-Unit about the Ravens win and a bunch of other stuff from the games on Sunday. The ratings, I've not seen those yet on a Monday afternoon for the games. I'm sure they are insanely good. The Packer-Niner game in the first overnights was the most watched anything in television since the 94 Olympics in Lillehammer. The most watched anything since Lillehammer, 30 years. That's incredible. And the Bills-Chiefs game was such a dramatic affair, back and forth, high tension, big plays, incredible atmosphere, Taylor Swift, shirtless Kelsey. I'm sure it did an even bigger and better number. And poor Tyler Bass. Tyler Bass with the slice of all slices. My friend Ross Tucker, who we had on our local show in Milwaukee last week or 2 weeks ago. And I love Ross, super smart guy, went to Princeton, played in the NFL, does a great job. Not only at sidelines for Westwood One, but podcasting, he's hustling, he's grinding. He had a take which was, kicking should not be part of the game. And he sounded serious about it. Like, this is so dumb. You got these big men, burly-ass, manly men smashing into each other, exciting play after play, tackles, you know, running, hurdling guys. And then you got a little kicker that comes out that probably played soccer, never played football. And his whole point was it's antithetical to the nature of football. I think it's a serious take from Ross. Next time I have him on, I'll press him further, like, to say, is this a serious take, or are you just riffing? Is this just a shtick, in other words? To me, kicking being part of the NFL, even when it goes horribly wrong, like Tyler Bass and his unfortunate wide right, two words in Buffalo, you don't ever want to talk about, ever. It's an awesome part of football. And it's awesome for this reason. It introduces the most unknowable and vexing part of strategic decision-making in the game of football itself. Because kicking is a mystery. It's an unknowable thing. You have to decide. First of all, if you had no kicking, what would happen to every drive that, you know, stalls at the plus 30, plus 25? The drive would just end. And then the other team would take over on downs. It'd be boring as hell. Fourth down decisions with no kickers? Well, other than punting on your own side of the field, they wouldn't be nearly as interesting as they are now. The beauty of kicking is that you have to make a decision to say, okay, we want seven. Seven is way better than three. It's double, more than double, plus the extra point. Do we want to push for seven, or are we going to take three? From a number standpoint, in terms of what we expect this game to be, high scoring, low scoring, is 3 points valuable enough? From a psychological standpoint, does it feel like a defeat to take a field goal here? And then it comes down to, well, do we think our guy can make it? How hard do we want to press for a touchdown? Because we have a guy who's good, but maybe not good, or we've got the best one ever, like Justin Tucker, or we've got a rookie like Anders Carlson, who we don't trust with anything. It is the most delicious wild card that there is in football. No, kicking is such a great part of the game. It's football afterwards, after all. You want it in the game, you need it in the game, because otherwise the game would be way more boring. And yes, it frustrates the shit out of you when your kicker hits a giant curveball slice like poor Tyler Bass. But when your guy makes one, when he buries one that you need to win a game, like Mason Crosby did for the Packers against Dallas in Dallas in the playoffs on the He Went to Jared play, Jared Cook with a sideline toe tap from Aaron Rodgers, seemingly dead to rights. Crosby from 52. He kicks it. It looks like it's going left. And then somehow, for reasons nobody knows, the gods, I guess, were smiling on the Packers and Crosby. The ball reversed course, started to yaw to the right. It's a word you might have to look up. YAW. Aeronautics term. It doesn't curve to the right. It yawed to the right just a little bit, slid to the right, and goes in just inside the left upright. Let me tell you, there, it was the football equivalent of snorting the most massive Tony Montana-sized line of football fan cocaine. Yes! Band kicking, Ross Tucker. What's the matter with you? Shake yourself. When we come back, we'll talk to Glenn G. Unit Eunice, Mr. Baltimore, Ed Reed Foundation. His thoughts on the weekend games next. You are listening to the Zabecast from my closet.
You know, we're driven by the search for better. When it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And Indeed doesn't help you just hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites. This according to a recent Indeed survey. Listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Zabe. Just go to Indeed.com/Zabe right now and support the show by saying you heard about it right here on this podcast. Indeed.com/Zabe. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Summer concert season is almost upon us, and if you're heading out to a country show, it'll be all about the boots. With seasonal and limited edition offerings this spring and summer, including men's and women's boots, apparel, hats, bags, and more, Tecovas is your stop for the best in Western style. Stop by your local Tecovas store, have a complimentary drink or two, and shop new styles. The smell of fresh leather and a friendly staff are at your service. Many stores even have leather custom branding to make your boots truly personalized. And with regular live music and events, there is no in-store experience quite like it. If you can't make it into a store, just visit tecovas.com. That's tecovas.com. They offer free shipping on all boots as well as free returns and exchanges, and they ship right to your door. Go to tecovas.com and find your new favorite pair of boots today.
Here we go.
Cast.
Hey, what's up, Glenny Yunis, Mr. Baltimore? How you doing?
Good, Xavier. How are you, man?
I'm good, man. So were you at the game on Sunday, Saturday?
Saturday.
Okay.
I did not go to the game. I was not on purpose. I had some family obligations, but I watched. I will be there for the championship game.
Okay. Was Ed there?
It swings Super Bowl. Ed was not. We'll be there Sunday.
Okay, very good. All right, your thoughts as we're down to the final four in the NFL.
I mean, let's start with Baltimore. They really big brothered Houston, and Houston's a fine team. The second half adjustments were, everyone's talking about it around here at least. They really changed the game. And obviously the public's talking about Lamar and how in the locker room he was screaming at everybody. That's what all competitors do. They all do that. But what I thought was very interesting was not just the ball control, the big brother and them leaning on him, but at the very beginning of the game, the very first play of the game for the Ravens, Lamar took the ball and ran. And I think that was, obviously they schedule these things, but that was Lamar and Todd Monken, the offensive coordinator, going, hey, Houston, you're going to have to fucking deal with me all day long. And if you got to spy me, you got to spy me. You want to blitz me, you got to blitz me. And it was a very early game of chess. It's we're going to pull one of your linebackers out of where you want him to be, and he's going to have to spy me all day long, and then we're going to lean down your throat. And it's exactly what they did in the third and fourth quarter. I mean, you look at that play, the play chart, and the flow of that second half. First series, Ravens take Trevor, score a touchdown, stop Houston on their possession, take another 7-plus minutes, 10 plays, 12 plays, straddle the third and fourth quarter, score another touchdown, stop them, go again, give them the ball back, down 21 with like 6 minutes to go in the game. They're like, fuck you, get out of our house. I mean, yeah. It was really incredibly dominating.
Yeah, Houston could not run at all.
Nope.
I mean, that was the bottom line of the whole game. Nothing was going to work because they were so out of balance. Now, Lamar is a running quarterback who is going to probably always have to be a partially running quarterback. Yep. Are there going to be more guys like that now that Lamar is proving it can be done and you don't necessarily have to get broken into pieces?
I don't know. I mean, you know, they say it a lot. Lamar's one of one, Zabe. I mean, he really is such a dynamic athlete and individual just superhero. and he's gotten a lot better with the pass. It used to be in 2019 when he won what is what will probably be his first MVP, because he's presumably the MVP this year as well.
He is.
He was really just a running quarterback that would throw the ball here and there. Even though he had more touchdowns, passing, et cetera, et cetera, he's more of a sniper now. He's more calculated. He's more accurate. It's, you know, quality versus quantity. What was he, 13 of 18 or something?
Yeah.
In the games last weekend? And so he's still very dynamic. You still have to account for him. He'll still do the, and it's kind of cliche, but he'll still do the RPO and things of that nature. But when he does pass, and when he does suck you in, and when he does have a team have to give up one of their linebackers as a spy, they'll just drop it right over the top on you. He'll right. throw it quick to Zay Flowers. So he's gotten a lot more calculated, a lot smarter. He's not just all athlete. Although when he does run, to your point, you know, conventional wisdom, Jalen Hurts and Fields and all these guys that run, it's like, dude, you're going to get broken into 1,000 pieces. And yeah, there's still that concern because you're taking more hits or you're in the field of play more. But Lamar is so oddly crafty. He doesn't, you know, I don't want to jinx it. He doesn't seem to take the square on hits that other guys do. He's just a very unique.
He's slippery. Fields runs as much, but is not nearly as good of a passer. I would say Hurts runs a little bit less, but now he's entering a weird phase of his career where he's going to have to take it up another notch. Josh Allen is the guy that runs almost as much on purpose for the point of hurting you, but he breaks all of our stereotypes, right, Glenn, because he's white. So God forbid you compare a white dude to a black dude. Even though sometimes
Josh Allen's a horse too. I mean, Josh Allen wants contact. I mean, did you see some of those goal lines yesterday? I mean, he's like plowing up the middle. Lamar's like sort of knifing in and out. Josh Allen's like, come get some of this, mother. You know what I mean? Like,
the dumbass takes on Josh Allen today I'm seeing are so dumb. Like Emmanuel Acho of ESPN, who said he's not so much Brady to Manning, he's more like Philip Rivers. And I thought, no, Philip Rivers with an okay arm, not a cannon. And we should probably talk about the nearly 65-yard missile in 4-degree weather, 20-mile-an-hour winds that hit Stephon Diggs in both hands, and he dropped it. Probably the greatest pass that was never completed. When that thing was launched, he was like, holy shit, what was that?
No, I mean, Josh Allen's a unique talent, too. He's just, you know, an inch
Phillip
less.
Rivers can't run.
He's a top 10 quarterback. He's
great. Right, but to complete my point, Phillip Rivers couldn't run. He didn't have a huge arm. He had a weird sort of pushing motion with his arm.
Yes.
And there's no comparison. Like, why would somebody being paid... Acho's not on ESPN, as he's on Fox, I think. But, like, stop trying to compare based on narratives. If you want to make a player-to-player comp, great. Do it on their physical attributes. Does he play like the player you're comparing him to? To even say he's more like Philip Rivers, I'm like, the fuck he is?
He's not a comp to any of those three guys, to your point. They're not one of those three guys is a comp to Josh Allen. Josh Allen's comp is like
Big Ben.
McNabb or like Culpepper who can throw.
No.
Or
Big
like
Ben.
Newton who can throw.
No, Big Ben.
Big Ben.
That's the comp right there.
He's more noble. He's and you know what? He's way so.
But he's a better runner. He's a better runner than Big Ben.
Yeah. And Big Ben was Big Ben, okay, Big Ben's a good topic. Big Ben was a winner, okay? And he was as underrated of a, you know, Hall of Fame type quarterback as there maybe was. This is coming from, you know, a guy that doesn't really love the Steelers. But he wasn't like ultra talented as a runner. He wasn't ultra talented as a passer. He was just a tough, gritty SOB that won all the time. Josh Allen is pretty quick. is powerful as shit, has a fucking cannon, but yeah, he's not winning a lot, and he does fumble, and he's not calibrating his superpowers quite all the way yet, but he's not really a
guy. I would have him on my team, unless I had somebody equal or better. I'd have him any day, and when they say, well, what does he have to do? I'll tell you what he has to do. He has to not face Patrick Mahomes in the playoffs.
Yeah, exactly.
And let's get him some more better weapons. Like, Stephon Diggs is increasingly a shrimpy, not so sure-handed diva. Like, he's his one real guy. Gabe Davis, nice idea, win healthy, not healthy all the time. And they've been doing it on smoke and mirrors. Give Josh Allen two or three good receivers, he'd fucking cook.
I agree. I didn't know you were – I like Josh Allen. I didn't know you were a huge Josh Allen stan, but I don't disagree.
Am I coming off like a Josh Allen stan? Yes. Maybe I'm coming off as a defender. Look, he's really good. He's also a bit flawed. He's a little bit flawed. Like, you know, taking the shot in the end zone, that was way short when he got, you know, pretty much – he kind of got hit. Some people said he wasn't hit. He was hit. That's why he doesn't underthrow a receiver by 10 yards. Just be like, whoops, like, I didn't mean to. He got hit.
That game was sloppy in general,
I know.
Too.
What killed me about that play was, why didn't he step up? There was so much room to step up. Like, feel that front side. Well, not quite front side, but it's right in your left side of your vision. Can you not feel it coming? Two steps up. That's what Mahomes does really good. And I've been asked by people, like, what is it with your Mahomes – Chiefs hatred, and I'm gonna break it down very simply. Okay, you ready? They're too fucking good. What am I supposed to do? Like a team that's not mine when they're this good? Now, I didn't like the whining earlier this year over the calls. I think that needs to be cleaned up. I do like Mahomes' style, the way he talks in interviews. It's very sort of down-to-earthy, as he was like, you know, they said I was my first true road game. Well, you know, I did play the Buccaneers in Tampa. So, you know, I didn't want to bring that one up, man. People bring it against me. And I'm like, that's fucking funny. And they got their asses handed to them that night.
Yeah. But his brother and his wife make you want to, like, not like them a lot.
Oh, his wife. His wife is easily one of the reasons why I'm like, okay, dude, no. But they're in love. They're in love. What can I say? And then, of course, the Kelsey stole the show with, you know, Travis having a great game. And then his brother going nuts.
He's the best. He is who you want your big brother to be. We would all want Jason Kelsey to be our big brother because, you know, he's like sort of measured until he doesn't need to be. You know, he's got your back. You know that he'll probably rip somebody's face apart if need be. Like, Jason Kelsey is who you want your big brother to be. And his wife seems to be like, yeah, that's Jason. It's cool. And they seem to be, as you know, they've embraced the, what do you call them? The scumball Philly fans? The
savages. The absolute Philly savages. They are the kings.
They're the symbol of it.
Right.
And it's great.
Jason ascended into God status when he gave the speech in the Mummer's hat in Philadelphia.
Yes. Because the Mummer's outfit.
The Mummer's outfit. Right. Yeah. You need to Google the Mummer's parade in Philly to get up to speed on it. Because I'm not going to explain it here, but it's a huge cultural phenomenon. It's like the Shriners.
Right. But way.
Yeah. It's the stuff of Philly legend. So he was already there. This takes it next level. The best tweet I saw was, well, it was a couple. One was, I can't believe that shirtless guy is going to stand up and give a speech at Taylor Swift's wedding.
Amazing. Amazing. I love it when he climbed out of the suite and the two security guards that are standing in the stands at the window to, like, make sure that the regular, you know, Buffalo crowd doesn't creep in there. And their faces are like, nah, what are you going to do? Like, it's fine. Like, let Jason do what he's going to do. It's great. Like, he's just a great character. And
here's another one. Here's another one. Ready? Chris Long, former NFL player. Some people see this and think he must be retiring, but nah, this is just regular Kelsey.
Yeah.
It's a picture of him shirtless. Marcus Spears says, man got on Russell sweatpants. He don't give a fuck. That is so great. Russell Sweatpants.
It's true. He's so great.
Let's see. Here's another one. When I do this at Miamisburg High School, I'm, quote, out of control and, quote, a danger to the kids. The elites get a pass again.
Well, there's a difference. He's in an adult football game, not a middle school. But, yeah, right. It's so good.
Greg Doyle, Indianapolis Star, says, am I in the minority of people who want to see Taylor Swift's reaction to a big Kelce play? I only see highlights on ESPN, so I'd see it just a few times per game, but I enjoy that. No, I'm with you. Like, I feel cheated if I don't get a quick shot. Like, okay, her man caught a pass. Give me a shot. Okay, 2 seconds. There she is. We're back to the game. I want it.
My wife's like, oh, I want Kansas City to win. I'm like, why? Like, we should be rooting for Buffalo. They're underdog and coached in Buffalo for a year. Like, we went there. We liked the people in Buffalo. She's like, well, I want Taylor Swift to come to Baltimore. I was like, get out of my face, Lauren. And then on the first touchdown, I rewound it to, like, look at the play. And then once it's over, I fast-forwarded. She's like, what are you doing? You fast-forward through the best part. They're about to show Taylor Swift. I was like, get out of here.
Yeah.
And it's everywhere in Baltimore now. Like, is she flying in? Where is she going to stay? I'm like,
right, dude,
it's 3 o'clock. She's going to take her plane or a car from her apartment in New York in the morning, go to the game, and go back home. She's not staying in Baltimore. You know what I mean? Like,
no.
What are you talking about?
Right. She's the modern Madonna. You know, for guys like our age, we understood how big Madonna was. So if Madonna was dating an NFL player and going to every game, it would be a big deal. That said, there is so many straw man arguments made by people about how if you have a problem with Taylor Swift being shown and yet you like Jason Kelce shirtless, maybe you hate women. I'm like, shut the fuck up.
Yeah.
These people are cherry picking 2 or 3 random tweets or a couple of people whose opinion don't really matter, and then extrapolating it, Glenn, to a wide swath of people that don't exist. It's the ultimate straw man argument. Hey, you men that don't want to see her, you're bad. Who the fuck is saying that exactly?
Yeah, and who has time to even conjure up these ideas and philosophies about what all men think? Stop. I have too busy to worry about what the deep psychological made-up meaning of guys that are, like, overseeing Taylor Swift every third cutaway. That's all. Like, I don't actually care one way or another. I just, and I know it's entertainment, I don't, the storyline in Baltimore on social media by a bunch of meatheads has been as much about Taylor Swift coming to town as it has been about anything else.
Right.
Equal parts, the Ravens looked good. Equal parts, Taylor Swift. Equal parts, tickets are too expensive. Like,
oh, really?
It's
How expensive are the tickets? Are we talking face value or resale?
Resale. I have no idea what. I'm the worst when it comes to knowing what stuff
right.
costs.
You've been riding in the luxury suite of the Ed Reed Foundation for long enough. Although, you know, you paid for tickets to the World Series for the Nats and the Astros, and you paid for mine, which was a very, very generous thing. And I want you to know I still think about that, even though they lost and had such a great time with you.
But we won the series, my friend.
I know. And none of the home fans. 7 games, and none of the home fans got to cheer.
That was crazy.
How fucked up of a World Series is that?
There
was no joy. There was no in-stadium joy for 7 games in that series.
For anyone. Yeah, it was wild.
Yeah. I got this Romo thing. I want to see if you can hear this.
Dude.
Tony Romo is starting to say more and more shit that makes 0% sense. To the point where you might have to add Tony Romo to the list of, does he have CTE? Here was Romo during the game. Let's see if you can hear this. See if I can play this. Oh, come on. Come on. Give me some volume. Why am I not getting volume here? Hold on a second. System. Okay. It doesn't come up appropriately. But he basically says, you know, I play before 70,000 at home in my mind, but then nobody's there. It's actually 0. Did you hear him say that during the game?
No, is that does he mean like clear the mechanism? Is that what he's saying? Like he can zone it out? Is that, you know,
no.
the Kevin
it
is that
made,
what he's saying?
It made no sense. And somebody tweeted a screen cap with a caption of Woody Harrelson in some movie, or maybe it was in True Detective, where he's like, I just want you to stop saying odd shit.
Yeah.
It's pretty damn funny.
Yeah. I think what happened is, I don't know if he's mailing it in. I know that's what a lot of people think. And frankly, I have not talked to a lot of my like CBS executive friends just because I don't sort of toil in the drama of that anymore. But
right.
But I don't know if he's gotten complacent with his big deal. If I were to be, which I am not, a Tony Romo apologist, I would say is when they talked to him after his first year or two and they were like, stop calling. Because, I know they talked to him this offseason and they tried to recalibrate him and boost him up. But before that, the league and CBS was like, hey, you know, this whole calling out the plays ahead of time is really cool and gotten you far. But like the teams don't like it and stop doing it type sort of vibe.
Right.
And they wanted him to couch that and just, I don't know, play it straight. But the novelty of him knowing what was about to be run and calling it out was wearing out. And I think that gave him the yips. If I were being an apologist.
I think that is a not terrible theory. That once you get into the inner workings of a guy and say, don't do this, do that, even though he had it as a player, he got coaching,
yep.
Obviously.
Yep.
That would not be the craziest thing. All right. Let me
say this though, real quick. He's got a, okay. We all have producers in that, but at his level, he's got a guy, right? Like I produced Ed for Inside the NFL. We had a bunch of producers, but I was Ed's guy. And so, if they needed to tell Ed something and they didn't want to tell Ed, they told me. And I would tell Ed in the way I communicate with him. I promise you Tony has a guy. His fucking guy needs to step up and tell him what in the fuck is going on with this team likes to do this. Look out for these things. Be aware. Because Tony, if he's not going to get in the weeds, that's fine. But you got to have a nerd that collects fucking football cards, lives in his mom's basement, knows every single thing about every single player, and that guy's got to give you a brief. He's got to give you the elevator on every team's offense and defense and special
right.
teams. And I don't know if his guy isn't doing it or Tony's not listening, but
you know,
it's a very
you know who that is? Chris Felica, the Bear. You need a Chris Felica.
Okay.
A guy who's
yeah.
the Bear, who is that guy that knows everything, that will just make it easy for you as a high-paid
yep.
talent and walk with you and say, okay, don't forget, they're fifth in pass defense. Last year, they were 20th. They made big strides.
Yeah.
It's Jones, the guy they got, who's made the difference. Okay, boom, got it.
Yep.
All right, before
yep.
before I let you go, because it sounds like you're done driving, you're going doing errands, whatever you're doing. What are you doing today, by the way?
Well, I was at the office this morning. I had a few meetings, and I went and had a squash match, and now I'm back at the office, and
oh.
I am going to grind and go to the grocery store. My wife had back surgery a couple weeks ago, so I am playing triple dad duty right now.
Oh, no.
Yeah, it's like, why do you marry a young, in-shape wife if she's going to throw her back out and have to have surgery? It's like,
well, she was probably doing athletic wifey things. And that's
yeah.
what got her in trouble, you see. You
that
get a bonbon-eating wife who likes to sit on the couch, she's not going to throw her back out, probably. All right, last thing for you. Did you see the Raven fan who went viral for looking like a dead ringer of Martin Luther King Jr.
Yes,
reincarnate?
Yes, I did.
Okay.
I did.
All right. Do you find, as if that wasn't enough, he just had the perfect, beautiful facial features and the same size mustache as Dr. King. But here's what's even more beautiful. He's married to a white woman. Talk about kumbaya. Feel the love, Glennie.
How great is that?
There's a right. Exactly. So the Martin Luther King Jr. lookalike, married to a beautiful white woman. They've got a kid who's a beautiful, you know, half and half version of the two of them. Black and white cookie, Seinfeld, races getting along in harmony.
That's
his name is Wardell Roberts. Wardell
Perfect.
Roberts. And the BaltimoreBanner.com caught up
yep.
with him and his wife and his kid.
That's awesome. I did see that. That's hysterical. I have a Packers question for you.
Yes, sir.
I thought they played their freaking ass off this postseason. Are you guys pumped about it? Is there no, there's no solace even though you lost? Like, how are you guys feeling in Green Bay?
I just went through it this morning on my morning show at 973thegame.com. You can listen there live, online, if you don't live in Wisconsin. I said I am crushed by this loss because you never, ever know when the next one is going to come. And I said, I don't believe in futurism that exists in sports. The future is bright, many Packer fans say. They're the youngest team in the league. They've got a young quarterback in Jordan Love who looks awesome. And I say, the future is not real. You know that, right? The future is something you make up in your head. You know when you say this, Packer fans, I know you mean well, but I'm here to break some hard truth to you. You're spending money you don't have. All this talk about, well, the window is open. The window opened for Rodgers after they won the Super Bowl against Pittsburgh, and it stayed open for 12 years, and they couldn't fit their ass through it. Not once.
Yeah.
Didn't make it back once. Dan Marino, back in the day, second year in the league, sublime passer, electrifying offense down there in Miami. They said, oh, he'll be back. Narrator, he was never back in the big game. I had to remind people, they call Green Bay Title Town, right? Yeah.
Yep.
I said, it's not called Good Seasonsville. If it was Good Seasonsville, then we could recalibrate our expectations. It's about winning. And part of it is the Midwest people are so nice. They're so salt of the earth that this is kind of how they're wired. They're not savages like the Philadelphia fans are. And I mean that with all due respect. I know many savage Philadelphia fans. They listen to this podcast. But they're Midwest nice, and they've been good for so long now since Favre and Reggie and company came that there is a sense of entitled town to Lambeau Field. Entitled town. And so I'm trying to gently, Glenn, with my East Coast edge, recalibrate some of the thinking with some of the sports fans, but I don't know if I'm having any effect. Some people just say, fuck you, East Coast asshole, go back to where you came from.
It's a great take. It's great several angles. I can't believe that you guys are going to go back-to-back-to-back on quarterbacks. That's unfucking heard of. The Midwest nice thing is actually a little creepy for us, East Coasters. I don't know what you guys are trying to pull, but it's wigging me out. I don't know if it's
creepy. It is
or this long play. I don't know if it's a long play to like overtake
a long
the world.
Con?
The big con.
No. You know what it is? Faith, family, and farming. The three Fs. That's what it is.
I thought it was like brandy, bourbon, and
football.
And something else.
Four Fs. Faith, family, farming, and football. They're great people. Yeah. All right, buddy. I'll let you go.
All right, Tabor.
Good to talk to you, Glenn. Thanks, buddy.
Just because the NFL season is now firmly in the rearview mirror does not mean the betting season is over. There is still plenty of opportunities to put a little something-something on the games. No matter what tickles your fancy, there is still plenty of action to whet your appetite. But just remember, where you bet is every bit as important, if not more so, than what you're betting on. That's why I tell my friends to go to mybookie.ag. MyBookie has been ahead of the game for years now. And why does that matter? Oh, I don't know, in a million ways. Better lines, better payouts, less rules. At mybookie.ag, use promo code ZABE and have your deposit matched halfway up to $1,000. That's a free cash bonus for making your deposit. Use promo code ZABE to claim the offer. Bet, win, and most importantly, get paid with MyBookie today.
All right, let's end on this dream analysis time. You ready? Monday after the show is over, morning show, 97.3 The Game. Come back to the apartment. I'm quite tired because I watched all the football on Sunday. I was keyed up after that exciting Buffalo-Kansas City game. Even though it ended early because it started earlier than normal for a Sunday night game, and I'm on Central Time, so I got an extra hour there. Procrastination. I was too wired to go to sleep. End up going to sleep too late. Get only about 4.5 hours, have to wake up early. You get the rest. I'm tired. So I come back. I'm like, okay, Monday, let's take a nap.
laid down on the couch, and I napped hard. You know, those naps where you're just like, don't bother me, I'm dead right now. Sleeping, 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 sleeping. But not only was I sleeping, I was dreaming. Big time dreaming, and I had a dream that has come up on more than one occasion that I would like you guys, if you want, to participate in my dream psychoanalysis. Here's my theory. So the dream was, I'm on a jumbo jet of sorts. Not sure exactly what kind. I think this was maybe a 747 with the four engines and the huge wide body and the upper deck area. I've never flown a 747. Oh, by the way, would love to someday. They're not really being used much anymore. They've been replaced by the 76s and the 777s. But I would love to get on a classic 747 sometime. And my dream is to be upstairs in the penthouse, up in the bulge of the 747. But I'm on a jumbo jet, and I'm flying, and it becomes apparent looking out the window that, okay, something weird is going on. We're at least an hour into the flight, and we're way too low to the ground. Now, we are not in any kind of distress. There's no engine on fire, but the plane is low to the ground, and it's flying really close to a lot of things. And the jumbo jet, and this has been a recurring theme in multiple of my dreams, the jumbo jet that I'm on, the commercial airliner, flies under things like bridges and overpasses and highways, and or it flies really close climbing up over a mountain, but we make it. And this is not concerning to anybody on the airplane but me. In this case, this particular dream, it ended with the plane flying so low over a golf course that it ended up landing on one of the cart paths. I know, it's a 747, makes no sense. Would have never... A 747 on a cart path, that was the dream. It flew so low that one of the last things in my dream that I remembered was one of the maintenance workers on the course had to kind of duck his head because the plane was screaming and... But we land safely and everyone gets off and it's like, not a big deal. Okay, what does the dream mean? My theory is this. My theory is that because I'm on these jumbo jets and I'm never with anybody per se. It's just me and I'm always free to roam around. So as the plane is flying under overpasses and bridges and stuff like that, but still narrowly avoiding it, like the pilot's like, oh, don't worry, it's Captain speaking, we just have to go into this underpass. I'm able to roam around. I'm out of my seat, and I'm going from one window over to the next going, holy shit, this looks crazy. This looks like, I don't know, man, should we be this low to the ground? Big jumbo jet here. My theory is that, okay, I've done well in life. Knock on wood for that. Hard work, a little dollop of talent, and a bunch of luck. And I've done well in life, so I'm on a jumbo jet, but I'm living my life in a way that is flirting danger. Because I do eat too much junk food. I am overweight. I do drink, I think, moderately, but, you know, more and more on a weeknight or a Sunday night, I might be like, let's have a couple of cocktails. I know it's bad for me. I no need to get my shit together, but that's my theory on this. That somehow is the case. Now, some would say, your dreams don't talk to you. Your dreams have nothing to do with your life. You were probably just thinking of that. You probably dreamed that because of the airplane that landed on Loudoun County Parkway back in Virginia, not far from the monogamous compound. There was a small plane. It was a propeller plane on a super low-level budget regional air carrier. There was like five paid passengers on board and a couple of pilots. They somehow had engine failure and managed to land on a road that I drive, not every day, but I drive all the time, roaming around Loudoun County. And because of that, maybe that's why I had the dream of the jet airliner flying under bridges and everything else. But I'm telling you, I've had this dream 5, 6, 7, 8. I've had it over and over in my life. Craziest thing ever? Maybe. Or just a dream. Maybe get more sleep would be a good idea for tonight. It's Monday, so What else am I going to do? There's no football tonight. Only two more games left and then the Super Bowl. The Super Bowl you're probably going to watch with a bunch of people that don't even like football. I'm crying now. See, that's what happens when I do the show from inside the closet. Thank you for listening. I hope this episode turned out okay, audio-wise, content-wise, and everything else. If it didn't, I would love to hear your feedback. If it was great, I'd love to hear your feedback. Send them to zabe@yahoo.com. Thanks for listening. Have yourself a great Tuesday, and we will see you next time.
Just because the NFL season is now firmly in the rearview mirror does not mean the betting season is over. There is still plenty of opportunities to put a little something-something on the games. No matter what tickles your fancy, there is still plenty of action to whet your appetite. But just remember, where you bet is every bit as important, if not more so, than what you're betting on. That's why I tell my friends to go to mybookie.ag. MyBookie has been ahead of the game for years now. And why does that matter? Oh, I don't know, in a million ways. Better lines, better payouts, less rules. At mybookie.ag, use promo code ZABE and have your deposit matched halfway up to $1,000. That's a free cash bonus for making your deposit. Use promo code ZABE to claim the offer. Bet, win, and most importantly, get paid with MyBookie today.